Well, good evening. Glad that you're able to join us again. This evening's message is about the topic of the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers is a doctrine that has historically been held by Baptists. It's not held by all other denominations. In fact, it's one of the seven or eight distinctive doctrines that sets us apart as a denomination, if you will. But I think you'll find it has a strong biblical basis as we explore some scriptures tonight. And if you haven't considered it very much in terms of your own walk with the Lord, I think that you'll find it has a profound impact and implications for your daily walk with the Lord as well. It's interesting as we look at the Old Testament to notice that God worked differently in different ages. We're used to living in a very individualistic society where the focus is on the individual person. Historically, and in Old Testament Bible days, God worked through groups of people. And the focus historically, as well as in societies, was on groups. And the direction of those groups and God's blessing on or judgment against those groups was determined in large part by their leaders. So if Israel had a good judge, they might receive blessing from the Lord. If they had a bad king, which they often did, they would receive judgment from the Lord. Now, of course, God is concerned with the individual and always blessed a faithful remnant and protected them. And there are stories in the Old Testament of individuals who were not leaders that God used to do mighty things. But those are the exception rather than the rule. God worked through groups, and he reached those groups and communicated with those groups in and through their leaders. So one of those leaders, the spiritual leader during Old Testament times, that you don't read about so much during New Testament times, were the priests. Priests were a peculiar group. Now, other religions had their priests as well, but for priests of Yahweh, the true Creator God, priests were to be Israelites, and specifically, they were to come from the tribe of Levi. The priests had regulations for what they were supposed to wear, how and where they were to live, how they could be ritually clean for their temple services that they would perform at various times throughout the year. But the main function of priests was to act as a go-between between God and man. So if God is working with large groups, but he's concerned with the individual, he used the priests to deliver his messages to the people, and the people used the priests to deliver their sacrifices to the Lord. And so the question is, do we have priests today? And are there priests at Thompson Road Baptist Church? Well, your instinctive answer to that question might be no, we don't have priests, and you probably think that because of the way you're picturing priests and you're not used to seeing someone at our church that wears priestly garb, maybe. But in reality, we do have priests at Thompson Road Baptist Church. As Baptists, we believe that every believer is a priest before the Lord. So in fact, not only do we have priests, as Baptists, we have more priests than the other churches and denominations and groups that meet. So when you think about a priest and your own role as a priest before God, as we'll explore in some scriptures here, that could be helpful for you. Maybe if you are not proud of what you do as a job, or if you're unemployed right now and someone asks you what you do, you can tell them, well, I'm a priest. That might get you out of a hard situation and give you an opportunity to explain what you mean by that, as long as you're ready to do so. And we're keeping in mind that biblically, a priest, we should probably not be picturing someone who looks like this, but rather, if you're watching on the video, probably someone that looks a little bit more like this, and that's the Old Testament priest. And as we come to a New Testament era, God has opened access for all of us to become priests. Well, earlier this month, Pope Francis was confronted by a lot of questions. Now that we're in a time of quarantine and stay-at-home orders, of course, over in Italy where the Pope lives, they've been under that a little longer than we have, and so he's had to face those questions that a lot of concerned Catholics have brought up that haven't had access to their priests. And so they're used to going to confession, and they haven't been able to do that on isolation and home quarantines. And so many ask the question, how can we get our sins confessed and forgiven during this time of isolation? Well, Pope Francis's response to those questions is that in times where a priest cannot be found, or that there's no access to a priest, that in these times, he told people that they could go directly to God with their sins, as long as they do a good job of contrition, and as long as they promise to come to confession later when they have an opportunity to do so, they can receive forgiveness by going straight to God. Well, what a novel idea. That's something that you and I practice on a daily basis and believe as an important part of our faith. So let's look at some scriptures for that. We're thankful for what the Bible says in 1 Timothy in chapter 2, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so that's why we don't have a person set apart specifically as a priest that individuals are to go through. That's why we don't direct our prayers to a person who is here functioning in our church, or a person who is from past history, who is deceased and with the Lord now, a saint or an angelic figure. We only direct our prayers directly to God and Jesus Christ, God the Son, as our mediator. I want to look at several other scriptures, and I'll go through these quickly. You can follow along or just listen. It's very clear in Scripture that the finished work of Jesus Christ gives the New Testament believer direct access to God. It's very clear in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. For through Him, that is Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Very clear. In Romans chapter 5, the first two verses, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Direct access for the believer to God through Christ. No other human intermediary. The third is Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. A verse that references the fact that God has made believers priests with access to God. There in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 says, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. One of the clearest passages is in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, biblically, who can offer sacrifices? It was the priests who offered the sacrifices. And Peter is assuring the New Testament believers that they are a royal priesthood, free to offer sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. In verse 9, he says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So it's abundantly clear throughout the New Testament that God has designated believers of this age as priests before Him with direct access to God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not a believer, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, then you don't have that priestly access to God. We're not born priests. A priest is just one who is granted access to God. And you're not granted that access to God unless you've had your sins forgiven by God's grace alone through faith alone on your part in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins so that all who believe might be saved. And it's at the point of salvation that we become priests through Christ's work with access to God. Well, let's look at what that means for us, what privileges and responsibilities that entails. Maybe you've never thought of yourself before as a priest, and you're realizing for the first time this evening that you have a privilege as well as responsibilities of a priestly role before God, our Creator and Lord. So I invite you in your Bibles to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll look at several verses that talk about our privileges and responsibilities as priests before God. The book of Hebrews is very helpful if you want to spend extra time in that book this week. It's helpful for seeing the work of Christ and how it completes the old covenant and brings in this new covenant. Many things that have changed, and unless we have a clear understanding of that, we'll get hung up on some issues in our New Testament worship. That Jesus wants us to know that he has already completed on our behalf, having completed the law. And so that's a major theme in the book of Hebrews. As we come to chapter 10, I invite you to begin reading in verse number 10. The Bible speaks of the work of Christ in verses 1 through 9 and says in verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." It's a reference there to the Old Testament priests that were constantly bringing these animals as atonement sacrifices on behalf of the people to God as a symbol of the covering of sin. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that that was never going to be sufficient to cover those sins. It was the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ that makes salvation and sanctification available. Verse 12, "But this man," referring to Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." See, our basis to be priests with access to God's presence is the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. And so, just as in the Old Testament, the priest had some access to the temple, but it was only the high priest who could go into the Holy of Holy Places, Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, in the holiest of places in heaven, because he is in us, because we are in him, grants us access into that holy place, into God's presence. So it's the high priestly work of Jesus Christ that affords us the privilege and the responsibility to be a kingdom of priests as individual New Testament believers. So here in Hebrews chapter 10, skip down to verse 19, and it's in verses 19 through 25 that we'll get some specific privileges and responsibilities that impact us as priests to God. Verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Notice again there how clear it is that we go straight to God boldly. We don't tremble as we go into his presence, as the priests and even the high priest did back in Old Testament days. We don't have to go through a separate person, a human mediator, as some in our world still today practice. We have boldness to enter straight into God's presence because of the work of Christ. Verse 20, "By a new and living way, which he," Jesus, "hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. "And having an high priest over the house of God," here's our first privilege. It's in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." So the first thing we notice about our priestly roles is that as a priest, you have access to God. Now, once again, I'm speaking specifically to believers here. If you've been saved, if the finished work of Christ on the cross has been applied personally to your life by his grace through your faith, then you are a priest with the privilege of access to God. Notice again there the basis for it. It's right there in verse 22, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, just as the priest would sprinkle blood as part of the sacrificial ritual in the Old Testament temple. Even so, Jesus Christ's blood has been sprinkled or applied to our lives spiritually to cleanse us of sin. And he says, having our bodies washed with pure water, most likely a reference to baptism there. That is, just as Jesus spiritually cleansed us through his blood, we are symbolically cleansed by the baptismal waters that set us apart as pure followers of him, telling the world that we have been saved and serving as a symbol of our desire to be clean followers and servants for the Lord. So as priests, we have that access to God. That's a great privilege. I want you to notice that it's also a responsibility, because we're exhorted here in verse 22 with the words, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near. As a priest, you have the privilege of access to God. But it's also a responsibility, just as the writer of Hebrews will exhort us. Let us draw near. A priest who never draws near to God is not a successful priest. He's not fulfilling his role. So if you want to fulfill your God-given role as a priest with the privilege of access to God, we need to take advantage of that access. We need to be going into God's presence. Well, what does it mean to go into God's presence? We understand that God is everywhere. And doesn't the Holy Spirit of God live within us as we are the temples of God? So how do we go into God's presence? Well, I believe what the Bible is telling us here is that we have the responsibility to intentionally, purposely, consciously set time apart, set space apart, commit energy to fellowship with God. Coming into his presence in a deeper sense, meaning that we're blocking out other distractions and other things that might be in our presence, specifically for time with him. We come into God's presence, as the Old Testament priest did, for sacrifice, to confess our sins and to receive his cleansing daily. We come into his presence to repent and to turn from those sins and commit anew to follow him. So it's for obedience that we come into his presence. And we come into his presence to worship. We come into his presence to offer expressions of praise to him. We come into his presence so that he might speak to us as we spend time in his word. We come into his presence to speak to him as we spend time in prayer. So these acts of devotion are privileges that the New Testament believer holds as a priest before God, but they're privileges that are also responsibilities we have to take very seriously. Are you, as a priest, fulfilling that role? Are you spending time daily in God's presence, intentional time set apart for fellowship and communion with him, where you're seeking his cleansing, repenting and seeking to follow him, adoring him, and reverently honoring him through your worship and devotion, letting him speak to you and speaking to him through prayer? These are the rights and the responsibilities of the New Testament believer as a priest. Those privileges always do come with responsibilities, don't they? Even in earthly life, privileges entail responsibilities. I remember when I was in seminary, I got a GA position, a graduate assistant, and what that means is that I worked for the school and I didn't get paid, but I took classes at the school and I didn't pay them. So basically I worked to earn tuition for some Bible classes in seminary. And my position was the facility supervisor for the gymnasium. So my first week there in that position, my supervisor, the athletic director, handed me a ring of keys. And as he handed me a ring of keys, he said that these keys got me access to the whole gym facility. That's the basketball gymnasium where the intercollegiate athletic events happened, the fitness center, the weight room, and so forth. Now, my eyes must have gotten big when he handed me those keys, because his next words were these. He said, "Now, this isn't so you and your buddies can have run of the place. He said this is so you can be responsible to keep the facility secure and functioning as it's supposed to. So what a great privilege to hold keys, and maybe you can relate as you've become a key holder at your job or at home or for a new car or things like that. Those keys are a great privilege. It gives you access, and it's very exciting, but there's also very sobering responsibility attached to that. Well, our access to God has a sobering responsibility attached to it, and that is that we're responsible to commune with Him as priests. It makes you feel important, maybe, when you get a badge or a special card, if you're a card holder, or maybe the government has designated you as an essential employee, or your workplace has, so that even though everyone else is under stay-at-home orders, we need you in our society if we're to keep going and keep functioning. Well, that makes you feel important. That's a privilege. You get to go out when others don't, but it's also a responsibility. It means you have to work when maybe others are getting some time off. So our access to God is a great privilege as priests. It entails that great responsibility. Second, and there's going to be another exhortation here in Hebrews chapter 10, is that as priests, we have a responsibility of faithfulness to God. Not only do we have the privilege of access, we have the responsibility of faithfulness. We see that in verse 23. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. What happens as a priest is you have an extra responsibility to be faithful, that sometimes people are going to fall away, people are going to drift apart and walk away from the Lord. But a priest should never be one of those people. A priest is supposed to have a deeper level of devotion, a greater understanding of God, a closer walk with Him. Well, because you are a priest as a New Testament believer, you are responsible to hold fast to the faith that God has called you to. You know, it's during trials like the ones that we are in, when we're under extra pressure or when we're experiencing extra isolation, that people can start to let their walk with God and responsibility toward Him slip and start to get less serious about spiritual things. And what could happen is that in a few weeks or whenever it is that we're able to open our doors here again at our church building, that some maybe won't come back because during a time of trial or a time of isolation, they slipped away and we'll need to go after them and bring them back in again. Well, as priests, you have a responsibility to hold fast to the faith that God has saved you to, just as He is faithful. I love how the writer of Hebrews tells us the one who has called us is faithful, so you should hold fast too to that faith, to that hope, that God is not going to renege on His side of the bargain, that when God saved you, He's not going to abandon you when things get hard, when you start to fail, when you don't hold up your end of the bargain. God is going to stay faithful. And so it is our responsibility as priests to hold fast as well to that faith, to that hope. That means we're going to continue to trust. We're going to continue to follow. And no matter what comes our way, we'll draw closer to God rather than allowing our circumstances to drive us away from Him. Let us draw near is the first exhortation in verse 22. Let us hold fast is the second in verse 23. And the third is in verse 24. As priests, we have a responsibility of influence for God. A responsibility of influence for God. Look at verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So not only do we have the privilege and responsibility of access to God, not only do we have the responsibility to hold fast to the faith that He has saved us to, but we also have a responsibility toward our fellow believer. If you think of yourself as a layman, which unfortunately a lot of believers today do. A lot of believers think of themselves as laymen and start to rely on their Sunday school teacher or their pastors or their deacons to promote spiritual growth in their lives. Well, what happens if we have the mindset of a layman is that we're not seeing ourselves as priests. But if we respond biblically and we're instructed biblically to see ourselves as priests, now I understand no one else is responsible for my spiritual well-being. I'm responsible before God for my spiritual well-being. Now, God is the one who does the work in me, but I'm responsible to draw near to Him, to hold fast to that faith. And not only am I responsible for my own spiritual well-being and my own faithfulness to the covenant of salvation, I am responsible for the growth of my fellow believers. Can you imagine what it would look like if each of us at Thompson Road Baptist Church took seriously our roles as priests and our biblical responsibility to provoke one another to love and good works? What that means biblically, Thompson Road, is that you as a believer, you as a church member, you as a New Testament priest are responsible to help your family members, your fellow believers, your fellow church members, you are responsible as a priest to help them love God more. That's right there in verse 24. You are responsible to help them serve God better. Right there in verse 24, to provoke them to love and to provoke them to good works. We're stirring them up. We're encouraging them up, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be closer to God, to be more impactful for Him. Remember, as a priest, very essentially, your role is to be a go-between between God and man. That's what a priest does. So if you're a priest, you are responsible to try to help others around you love God more and to help bring them to God by teaching them to serve God better, provoke to love and to good works. In verse 25, a familiar verse says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. So we want to exhort each other, stir up one another, and help each other to grow. This is hard when we are not assembling together physically. And so based on this passage of Scripture, this situation we're in now has to be short term. It has to be temporary. It's troublesome that it's gone for a couple weeks now, and it will likely go for a couple more, and who knows how long, but it can't be a long-term solution. I'm so thankful for these online services. This can't be a long-term solution. Eventually, we're going to have to find a way to meet together again. So join me in praying that God will cleanse our nation of this sickness, our world, quickly, so that we can meet together again and continue to function to our fullest right and responsibility as priests before Him. Again, what would it look like if everyone in our church fulfilled that priestly responsibility toward God and toward each other by taking responsibility for our spiritual growth and for that of those around us? That's what a priest does, and that's what we will do if we're in tune with our high priest, Jesus Christ. As we do these things, we will admittedly look different from other churches around us, as well as from the New Old Testament believers that we read about in Scripture. And that's why there are some things in the Old Testament and at some churches today that you won't see at Thompson Road Baptist Church, such as, for example, sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice in the Old Testament. We don't give animal sacrifices in churches today, and the reason for that is that Jesus Christ is the final sacrifice. Another thing you won't see that's very common in the Old Testament and in some churches today is an altar. We don't have an altar at our church because there's no sacrifice to present there. God has given us Jesus Christ, the final and perfect sacrifice. To add to that would be to diminish that. Another thing you won't see is priests. Well, we have a church full of priests, but you won't see one person that's set up as a priest over others. There's no hierarchy in that way. We're all on equal footing in terms of access to God. And then finally, you won't see a temple. In the Old Testament, a building was the physical, earthly symbol of the presence of God. Not so with the church today. There are churches today that refer to their buildings as a house of God and believe that that physical structure has that spiritual significance. We don't believe that. Our building is just to facilitate that worship. And as we've experienced this week and last week, we see that we continue to worship and learn and serve the Lord even apart from this building. And so the Bible tells us that we as believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he works in and through us. So with some takeaway applications here, I want to challenge you, let's thank God for the finished work of Jesus Christ so that we don't have to make sacrifice. Let's thank God for the indwelling Holy Spirit so that we're no more reliant on the temple. Let's thank God for that blood applied to us so that we can be priests with access to God, independent of any human mediator. And as priests, let's take seriously our responsibility. Let's be going into his presence for confession, for repentance, for devotion, for worship. Let's hold fast to the faith that he has saved us to, and let's stir each other up to love and to good works, helping each other grow closer to God, helping each other serve God better. Trials in emergency situations like this can hinder us and draw us apart, but they can build us up once again, and they can help us to be more prepared. For example, our hope is that our country during this trial will learn from this, and our leaders will be able to say, what can we do to be better prepared for the next time something like this comes, or for something unlike this that comes up? We as a church can learn and say, how can we take what we've learned during isolation time and use it to better our ministry going forward and to help us grow closer to God? You as a family can take this challenge to evaluate where you are spiritually, to see whether you've become too dependent on the formal, structured gatherings of our church for all of your spiritual growth. We believe in those formal, structural gatherings here at our church building, and we need those, but you need to continue to walk with the Lord, continue to go before him, continue to function as a believer and even draw closer to him, even when you're separated from that. And so this trial can help you to learn that. So I want to challenge you, don't let your mind and your spirit during this trial go completely into snow day mode. You know what I mean when I say snow day mode? Snow day mode is when everything is shut down and you're stuck at home. And what do most of us want to do in snow day mode? Maybe we sleep in, stay in our pajamas all day, turn the TV on and just let it wash over us until we fall asleep, and eat a lot of junk food and get in the full snow day mode. Well, you can get by with that one or two days here and there occasionally, but we're talking about weeks here, folks, and so it's important that we remain disciplined, that we have some formal structure, especially when it comes to our devotion time and our worship time. We've got to be priests that will be pleasing to God. I want to speak specifically to husbands and fathers. You, even though we're all priests and every believer in your home is a priest, you as the leader of your household have a specific responsibility to see to the spiritual oversight of those under your care. That means that you're sensitive to sin patterns in their lives that are going to need attention. That means you're seeing to it that they have access to godly material and daily Bible time. That means that you are there to help them make sure that they are getting under Bible preaching and are a faithful part of a Bible preaching church. And for all of us, to use this time to strengthen that walk we have with God individually, not depending on others, but just coming before him as priests sprinkled by his blood and seeking to draw closer to him. And that's some of the privilege and some of the responsibility that you and I enjoy and are called to because of the biblical doctrine of the priesthood of all believers.